Welcome back to Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. Today on Better Than I Found It, I speak with Luke Morgan, who is a senior here at Baylor on our golf team. Luke was a multi-sport athlete in high school while growing up in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and despite being somewhat undersized, Luke excelled on the basketball court. But he also led Guthrie High School to a couple of state golf championships while winning the individual title as well. We talk about matches against the number one junior golfer in the world at the U.S. Junior and the number one amateur golfer in the Big 12 Match Play Championship. Luke has a great sense of humor and is excited about upcoming spring season. I know you'll enjoy getting to know him a little better. Okay, Better Than I Found It listeners, my guest today on Better Than I Found It is a senior on our golf team here at Baylor, an Oklahoma native, Luke Morgan from Guthrie, Oklahoma. Luke, thank you for taking time at the end of Christmas break to talk to me.
Yeah, no problem. Rushed down here from Oklahoma for this.
Yeah, you did rush down here. You're not the slowest driver on our golf team, are you?
Whatever, my mom might listen to this. Be careful.
Well, anyway, it's good to have you here. I'm glad you're back. We're ready for a great semester, and I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, Luke, you're my first ever Baylor golfer from Oklahoma. And being the fact that I lived 53 straight years in Oklahoma, you and I have a lot in common. A couple of things we have in common. One, we know the same surroundings. You grew up in Stillwater and Guthrie, and I grew up in Ponca City. So when you were in Guthrie, you were about 40 miles from Stillwater. When I was in Ponca City, I was about 40 miles from Stillwater. So we both grew up being Oklahoma State sports fans.
Oh, yeah.
All the way through. I know why I grew up loving OSU. I grew up because I was able to go to basketball games, football games, wrestling matches, and I love the golf team. What was your connection to OSU? Why did you like it, other than you lived a certain amount of time in Stillwater?
I mean, pretty much everybody in my family graduated from there. My grandparents were veterinarians there, really well known. And then my dad graduated from there. My mom is a professor there now. Mm-hmm. And then my stepdad actually was a part of building the new Obrate Stadium for baseball. And so even being in college, I've still spent a lot of time at Oklahoma State. And when they're not playing Baylor, that's who I'm rooting for.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't believe this, but when they're not playing Baylor, I have a soft spot in my heart for – I was an Oklahoma State fan from 1965 until I got let go there in 2013. So there's obviously a soft spot in my heart, and they gave me 16 great years. So I enjoy that. So I know you grew up an OSU fan, probably wanted to go to OSU and play golf, there's no doubt. But I got you here to Baylor, didn't I?
Yeah, I mean, I told you on my visit that if OSU offered, thank you for your time.
Alan Bratton didn't come calling, so there you go. All right, so I know you've played since you were very young. I think you were 3 or 4 when you got started. But in this process of playing junior golf and growing up in what would be Guthrie, you played a lot of basketball. You were a basketball player. Now, you weren't not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
But I do know that your senior year on a Class 5A basketball team, you averaged 13 points a game. You were 5'9", 130 pounds.
Soaking wet. Yeah.
Soaking wet. That's pretty amazing you were able to do that. How were you able to do that?
My uncle played college basketball. My dad played high school basketball. My grandma might have been the best basketball player in the family. She's got a couple 48, 49-point games.
Really? Where did she play? Okay, you don't know
I'm
that, but you never told me she was a basketball player.
Yeah, she was awesome.
That's great.
But yeah, I mean, it's so much fun. Even if I get the chance now, play some basketball with the guys. Or
are you the best shooter on the team?
Yeah, for sure.
What about Drew Wrightson?
He's got a pretty good shot. It just doesn't... When he gets it over the rim, it's pretty flat.
Is it flat?
Yeah.
You've got nice arch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. I bet you do. You know, I never saw you play basketball. Alan Bratton at Oklahoma State said he did see you play basketball.
Yeah, he scrimmaged Stillwater, and his son was guarding me the whole
scrimmage.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, the dynamic of playing basketball for your dad and your uncle. Your dad was the assistant coach at Guthrie High School, the Go Blue Jays, and your uncle was the head coach. What's that dynamic like, two family members actually coaching you in a sport?
It was actually a lot of fun, and kind of my uncle being closer to my golf game, and also, I mean, his job is a basketball coach, so we've kind of already had that player-coach relationship building for a while. And then, I mean, playing basketball with your uncle and dad as a parent is pretty much guaranteed playing time. So,
well, weren't you good enough to make the team?
Yeah, I was, okay. But I think that made it a little bit easier that I got to grow up kind of watching them play. And I mean, I've always been around basketball. My grandma has a half-court basketball barn that we'll play at whenever.
At where the driving range is that I'm going to ask you about in a minute. Mm-hmm. So did you go to high school basketball practices when you were a little boy and just kind of look up to those guys?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. For sure.
All right. Well, you know, that leads to the next question, which is basically most accomplished golfers in the modern day have a dedicated swing coach. He's usually a swing guru or somebody that's really, really well known as far as that's concerned. But you didn't have one. You grew up in Guthrie, and your uncle Sean became your golf coach. I know he was a good player because I remember when he played high school golf. But how did he impact and influence your development as a player?
I think it all kind of starts at my grandma's, hitting balls just in the pasture, trying to not hit cows. And then it really started with my grandpa. He would sit out there and watch me hit golf balls whenever I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And then, unfortunately, he passed away. And then Sean kind of took on the role of being my quote-unquote coach. And so if I was hitting a bat, I'd just send him a swing video, or he'd be there with me and seemed like he could fix it with one or two things. And then even now, like, if I qualify for a big tournament or have something, he's the one that I'll call to come caddy, even though he's a lot more busy, a lot farther away. Mm-hmm. He knows my game maybe a little better than I do. So.
Yeah, he was the first time I ever saw you hit a golf ball. Sean was caddy. He was on the bag. So in the first two tournaments, in fact, that I saw you, he was on. But let's talk about your high school career. You were at Guthrie High School. You played on two state championship teams in spring of 2018 and spring of 2019. And you won the individual title in 2019. Your freshman year as an individual, you finished second. Sophomore year, third. You did win your junior year. And then your senior year, COVID kind of stopped the season. But so you were playing on really good teams, and you were the best player on those really good teams. I remember being a high school coach in Edmond in the late 80s, early 90s, and Chris Herzl and his brother Zach played on some really great Guthrie Blue Jay teams coached by Rick Michoud. And Chris has told me, and he's told you, in no uncertain terms, those Guthrie teams were better than your Guthrie teams. Tell the world right now.
I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, we have more state championships in less years, so it's kind of hard to argue that.
Did Chris ever win the state championship?
I don't think so.
Not individually. You did. Okay, I think Chris is just hoping or thinking or dreaming of glory days.
Yeah.
But I think you got him. Yeah, I'm going to fall on your side on this one.
Absolutely clear cut, second best team Guthrie's ever had.
Yeah. Okay, so for the record, I'm going to state this too. As a golf coach, I took 9 different teams to tournaments in Guthrie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I won all 9 of them.
It's not bad. That's not bad.
So I got to think we did pretty well when we went to Guthrie.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Pardon me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I know. But I will tell Chris the next time I see him that he needs to listen to this podcast. He needs to know. The whole world knows.
Yeah.
Your Guthrie teams were better than his. Let's talk about your recruitment to Baylor, because you got here in a little bit of a different way. Good family friend of yours, who used to work in the development office at Baylor, he raised money for Baylor, was working at another university. And in the summer of 2018, he emailed me or texted me or maybe called me and said, hey, this kid from Guthrie, Oklahoma, a really nice player. He's not very well known outside the state of Oklahoma. Could you take a look at him? And I said, well, I can't contact him for another couple of weeks. He said, yeah, I know, but you know, do you know his high school coach? I said, I do. He said, why don't you call and see what you think about this? So I did. I called Coach Michoud, and he said, yeah, Coach, I think he's a really great kid. I think you'd love having him. So apparently you talked to Coach Michoud, and next thing I do is I get a text message, which I can't respond to, and it's got 2 videos on there. And I thought, well, that's pretty athletic. Doesn't look big. I can't tell. Is he a big guy, a small guy? He was a small guy. And anyway, on September 1, we connected the first day we were able to communicate. And I made a promise to you. What did I promise you I would do?
promise you you're going to come watch me that summer at some point, but...
Well, that school year, anyway.
Yeah, that school year, at least, and that didn't happen.
Well, I tried to go. November 1st, there was a tournament in Ardmore where the best players from Texas met the best players from Oklahoma in a match, and I wasn't able to come that weekend for some reason, and then got busy with golf, I guess, or basketball you had, and then spring season came about, and I hadn't watched you play, but I did see the results, and I would send you a text every once in a while, good playing, nice job, but I still hadn't seen you play, and so you win the state high school championship, and I texted you, great going, nice playing, really well done, and you said, can we talk on the phone, and I said, sure, so we talked on the phone, and what'd you say to me that day?
I mean, I told you if you weren't going to come watch me play, don't tell me you were, so.
Basically, if you're a man of your word.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well come watch me if you're going to say you are. But then I let you know that I had kind of one tournament coming up.
In Texas.
Yeah. And so.
So the way I remember it is you kind of chewed me out. It's like, you promised me you'd come and watch me play. What is the deal, coach? And so I thought, I really would. So I think I asked you, do you have any tournaments in Texas? Mm-hmm. And you said, sure, I'm playing in the U.S. Junior qualifying at Hurricane Creek, just north of Dallas. So I thought, well, I can make that one. So I went up and watched you play, and I'll never forget the first time I saw you. You were hitting some pretty good sling hooks on the
tee. Oh, yeah. We dropped it inside and flipped.
You did drop it inside. And But you looked pretty athletic, and you walked right beside me, and I said, good luck today, play well. And you said, isn't that the plan? Or something. I thought, that's kind of cocky. And I went out and watched you play. You shot a bogey-free 68. Mm-hmm. You won the qualifying. You qualified for the U.S. Junior. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. So I thought, I really should invite him down for an unofficial visit.
Yeah.
So I texted you, let's talk, let's have an unofficial. And that was great. We set up a date between that U.S. Junior qualifying and the U.S. Junior. And you brought how many people with you?
Oh, geez, I'd have to go back and count, but it was the whole family.
Yeah, I think there were 9 people on this visit. One of them was still in diapers. So,
close to double digits.
Yeah. Wow, 9 people on an unofficial visit. Thank you.
Yeah.
We had a good day together.
Yeah.
And you said something earlier that I spent the whole day with you, and I could tell you loved OSU. I could just tell. And I said, okay, before you guys get on the road, tell me the truth. If Alan Bratton calls you today and says, I want you to come to Oklahoma State, what would you tell him? And what'd you say?
I said that I would be going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that you grew up a huge, and I thought, well, at least he's honest with me. I like that part.
You told me if a kid's that honest on his official visit, then I should probably.
That's keep the one I want. So anyway, I did go and watch you play at Inverness in the U.S. Junior. First of all, to get to play Inverness for your U.S. Junior,
insane.
It's insane. You'd never seen a golf course like this, I know, in your life.
I've never seen a rough like that either.
Yeah, you never had. So it was funny because Ryan Hibble at OU and Alan Bratton both followed you pretty much the whole 36 holes stroke play, and I followed you as well. And there was another kid from Arkansas that I was actually looking at that you played with, Ben Brogdon, who ended up coming here, but he's had a career-ending injury. Yeah. Sad. But late in the second round, you had made a triple bogey, I think, and had to make a 30-footer for that triple.
It was the first round.
Was the first round?
Yeah,
okay.
So kind of the whole story is I birdied the first hole, and then we get around to hole number, I think 8's the par 5, right? Mm-hmm. So I was 1 under bogey free through 7, and there's this massive white scoreboard up there, and it has like all the kids that I had like just heard about, you know, Akshay, who's on the PGA Tour now, and all those guys, and it's like Akshay, another big name, that says Luke Morgan. I look at my caddy and I was like, oh my gosh, who's my uncle?
Yeah.
And we tripled the next hole, but I walked in a 35-footer for triple.
Yeah, you did walk in that 35-footer. So the lesson here would be, don't let that scoreboard.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
don't let it affect
scoreboards,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you see a scoreboard, it doesn't matter. It might be wrong.
Yeah, it was also the first fairway I had missed, and I learned my lesson very
quick. Did you miss that fairway.
Yeah.
So I remember you making that putt, and then I thought I remembered it being the second day. But anyway, you ended up making match play.
Mm-hmm. I birdied 17 to get into a playoff.
Yes. And got to the playoff, won the playoff, got through. And who did you get to play in the first match?
Akshay Bhatia.
Akshay Bhatia.
Ranked number one in the world.
Number one ranked junior player in the world.
Honestly, though, whenever... Because the playoff was eight guys for seven spots, mm-hmm. and it's a 400-yard par four. You hit a four-iron off the tee, nine-iron into the green, and you just make your par. Somebody's mm-hmm. going to make a bogey. But I completely... as our guys say, Spanish fade one into the fairway and over, but I was in the fairway. Like, mm-hmm. I got super lucky, but instead I had a four iron in, hit it to the back of the green and two-putted for my par.
Somebody else make a bogey? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a kid that was in the sand the whole mm-hmm. time building sandcastles. And we, so like once I made it, we were like, man, if we're going to play a match play, if you're going to win, you got to beat the best. So mm-hmm. I might as well get him right now. And sure enough, that's who I played.
You took him to the 16th hole, so I think he beat you 3-2 or 2-1, one of those. I don't.
Yeah, it was a good match. We were all square through 11, and then he made a couple birdies on me.
Well, he is a pretty good player. He is he's playing the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he's not bad.
And later in your college career, you played the number one amateur in the world, Pearson Cootie,
yeah.
from Texas. And I'll never forget this because you were, I'm not going to say oblivious, but you just, like, you didn't pay attention to all those rankings. That stuff yeah. didn't matter. And you were really upset after you lost your match one up, and you got a little upset.
Yeah.
Said a bad word. So I pulled you aside and said, you're not allowed to say that word. And number two, you just took the best player in amateur golf. You got beat one up. You played fantastic. And you looked at me and said, he's what?
Yeah. I didn't know. I mean, I knew the name, obviously.
You knew he was a good golf, player.
You know the Cooties are great, but right? I didn't know he was number one
yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, he's number one. So, so twice you've competed against very well, the two best players in the world at that age. But anyway, that was your junior career. You ended up committing right after that U.S. Junior.
Yeah.
And
I was still in Ohio whenever I committed.
You were in Ohio when you committed. The sad part about that is your senior year, COVID mm-hmm. got you. But also, you had to have wrist surgery
yeah.
your senior year in the fall. So it's kind of shocking because you had wrist surgery, got through that, rehabbed, and played basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I had broken it the last basketball game of my junior year.
But you didn't know it because, I mean, you...
It hurt, but I just kind of kept playing, so...
But all that good golf you played in the summer of 2019...
Was on a broken wrist.
Broken wrist, but you didn't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I had wrist surgery. Unfortunately, I think I might have came back a little bit too fast from that, and it's kind of lingered for a while. But I still got to play basketball and, like, make a bunch of great memories and, you know, with my uncle and dad being the coach. And then, yeah, we played one tournament in the spring. Another reason Chris Rolls are why we were the best is because we were 1-0, only perfect season.
It was a perfect season. Yeah, spring. And then yeah. COVID got you.
Yeah, so.
COVID stopped that season. But, yes, you were. You had to stop. So you didn't get to play. You played that summer, but not a lot. You had some injury. I think you mm-hmm. played in Norman
yeah, that's
just before you came to school
yeah.
and injured it again. And then so you had to do a bunch more rehab your freshman year. So it basically cost you the fall of your freshman year. Mm-hmm. You came back a little bit in the spring, played in two or three tournaments as an individual.
Yeah, I just was coming back. I never really
yeah
got close to the lineup. My game just wasn't.
Yeah, wasn't and there. You probably lingered. You mm-hmm. never had the complete rehab. And I would say that your career was kind of spotty. You'd have these little flashes of brilliance, mm-hmm. and then you'd get injured again or whatever. So I'm not making excuses, but unfortunately, injury has plagued you. You did have one tournament that I remember that I walked all 54 holes with you, and mm-hmm. that was at the Border Olympics, spring of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
One memory I have is a par 3, number 12, that you played quite nicely that week, and you made an incredible birdie on the last hole. Mm-hmm. So talk about that week. It was still your best finish in a varsity tournament at Baylor, so talk
yeah.
about that.
I remember it was really windy, and I remember even practicing here at the Billy before, and you were watching me, that I was hitting a bunch of low shots, kind of working it both ways, and you just kept telling me that's going to be... I was hitting a low fade driver, and I was hitting a low fade 3-wood off the tees, and then you're like, that flighted ball flight's going to be really good this week. And I hit it really nice, but one of the best things from that week is I was really good inside like 8 feet, and so whenever I had a close opportunity, I made it. If I didn't hit a great chip, I was saving it, mm-hmm. and then it was playing tough. I think I was only 1 under for the event, but just with all the wind and all that, and then...
Well, the collection areas were all wet, and dormant
Bermuda,
Bermuda, and the wind, the greens were hard to hit because of the wind, and the fairways were not very nice, so you didn't have very good lies. So it was like all the everything combined to just have really tough conditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you played well that week. Mm-hmm. So that you know, the good parts have been there off and on. You qualified for the U.S. Amateur this summer.
Yeah,
and so that was really really good. So you came into this year with a lot of hope, and you did have two pretty good tournaments this fall. Mm-hmm. You played as an individual at McLennan's tournament, shot 12 under, I think. Yeah, 12 under, yeah, and finished second. Mm-hmm. And then went to Hawaii and played as an individual and shot 4 under.
Yeah, so that one was just one bad round. Really, one bad swing cost me 3 shots.
Yeah,
that would have
given you much better finish. But as far as I'm concerned, your game's on an upswing as you head to your last semester. Mm-hmm. That's good. So anyway, we gave kind of just a history of your junior golf career, the recruiting, all of that, how we got you to Baylor. But one person we haven't mentioned too much is your grandma. We talked briefly about her, but everybody needs somebody to support them. But I've never seen anybody that supports anybody better than your grandma does.
Yeah.
She's driven everywhere across this country that you can drive.
Yeah.
And if you could drive to Hawaii, she would have been there this
Absolutely.
Fall. So tell me about what her support has meant to you.
I mean, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for her. Growing up, she was at every single event. She'd always be, you know, ask me if I needed snacks or whatever, and if I was playing bad, it always made me mad. But now I would think, like, how amazing it was that she was always there, and she definitely didn't like whenever I got mad on the golf course. She used to take my phone away if I slammed a club.
Sounds like a golf coach.
Yeah, right. But no, I mean, even, you know, sophomore year we played in Arizona, she drove to Arizona. Mm-hmm. Last year she surprised me in Minnesota, which drove to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That's not a short drive. And then, I mean, that's just like just a fraction of the things that she's done. And then growing up, I spent a lot of time at my grandma's, and there's quote unquote driving range there. That's like, it's really just a pasture, but it's got,
is it closer to Stillwater or Guthrie?
Stillwater.
Okay.
It's right. Probably 15 minutes outside mm-hmm. Stillwater. And, yeah, so like I'd be there. Every time she went to Walmart, she'd buy a bag of golf balls, and then she'd always keep a little area mowed down for me, and if it wasn't, she'd go out and mow it, and then it kind of worked out good because there was, you know, like trees and all that stuff at good yardages, and so I hit millions of balls there. And
you hit balls basically from a little mowed down area of grass into a pasture.
Out into a pasture, and then either we'd go pick them up or she'd go pick. She loved picking them up. She'd go do it all for me, and then
I had a player at Oklahoma State, Trent Whitekiller from Salisaw, Oklahoma, who hit balls from a little across a highway into a pasture.
Yeah.
Is the way he practiced. So I think you can become a good player in a cow pasture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you
Absolutely.
Sure can. Absolutely. It's great. You'd think you'd be rewarded for all the support that she gave you, but she had in the match play tournament, one of your teammates hit her. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I'm on the green. That's hole
number one.
Yeah, so I think we had started on the back because I don't think it was the first hole of the day. But so I'm on the green. It's kind of a dogleg left par 4. The longer guys can kind of get up there close to the green. Everybody else, you usually have like a 50-60 yard wedge. But I'm on the green, middle of my match, and I just hear this loud yelp. Like, I mean, screamed. And I was like, what in the world was that? I look over, and Johnny Kiefer had pulled his tee shot, and it flew straight into the cart path and hit my grandma right on the hip, and she just screamed and was like, oh, I'm sorry. But, it was insane, which, I mean, she took it like a champ. She didn't say anything about it after that, and Johnny walked up, had no idea, and I was like, Johnny, dude, he just smoked my grandma with a golf ball. He was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, I remember, but she was standing 10, 15 yards from the green.
Yeah.
So if Johnny had hit it where you hit it, which is just down the middle of the fairway, it wouldn't have hit her.
Nah, not even close.
But he was going for the green, hit it over the trees.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't hit the cart path, she'd have been fine.
Yeah, I think it would have been okay.
It would have been okay.
It
almost killed her.
Yeah, it was a bad deal.
But she kept on. She watched you the rest of the match. No big deal.
Yeah.
Speaking of supportive people, your roommate, Trey Bosco. You guys got here August of 2020. I remember you being a little bit homesick. I remember Charles Howell III being very homesick, so it happens to everybody. But I remember you being a little homesick, but it was like we had to sequester you. You guys were roommates, but you were in different sides of this apartment, never really talked to each other. You guys didn't talk much your freshman year.
Yeah, I mean, first semester, we didn't hardly say anything. only thing that we did. I texted him one time and told him to stop drinking all my energy drinks in the morning. But other than that, I told him we could split them, but he took the last one, and I was like, man, you can't take really the upset. Last can't one.
You got to ask if you're
going to take the last one. And then second semester, they kind of lifted up some of the COVID rules, and we got to kind of hang out more. And now he's my best friend. He'll be my best friend for life.
There's no doubt you guys are going to be best friends for life. What you experienced here together and all you've been through, amazing. So Trey is obviously the closest you've gotten to anybody on the team, but don't you think we have just some really awesome team synergy and chemistry?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think everybody kind of plays their own role. Obviously, we're not all the same, but I mean, there's not a guy that I couldn't hang out with one-on-one, or if, you know, even the freshmen have come in and everybody has a great time together. And I think that's the best part. I mean, of course, I want to go out and shoot 65 every time, but if I don't, I know I'm going to come home to guys that, one, they're not going to judge you if you're not playing good or any of that. They're just going to...
Yeah, everybody in that locker room has played bad golf.
Yeah, exactly.
I've watched it.
Everybody's just kind of, you know, there for... you know, for each other, and hanging out as a team is the most fun part about being here.
So that part's been good pretty much your whole time at Baylor.
Yeah.
But one thing that's changed during your time at Baylor has been the way we do workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I really haven't talked too much about this. I did interview our trainer, Izzy, Isabella Balcells, one time for this podcast, and so she talked about it a little bit. But how do you compare your first two seasons, injured as they were,
right,
but with team workouts compared to the individual workouts we're doing now?
I think it's, I mean, for me personally, it's for sure night and day, because with the team workouts, I mean, yeah, of course we're doing good stuff and getting work in, but, you know, for me with a bad wrist, some of the workouts kind of hurt, or I'd have to say something and I'd have to do something else, or, you know, and with Izzy being able to kind of just work one-on-one. I mean, she knows I've got a bum wrist, and so whenever we have workouts, we avoid that. If something hurts, she's always super fast to having a different workout that gets the same thing done, but, you know, doesn't cause any pain. And she's actually done a great job, because, I mean, this is the healthiest my wrist has been. I haven't had, you know, bad wrist pain in a long time, probably since she got here. And so she's done a good job of kind of helping us build strength and speed, but also not being hard on our body and end up actually making it better.
That's the thing that people don't understand. She's a physical therapist, so she can get you back to health, but she's training you from a mindset where, I don't want this person to be injured, and she knows your issues with your body, and she knows that with everybody on the team. I mean, you've gotten better, and you've continued to play golf and work out, and you've
I've been able to consistently practice, and I'd say this is the most consistent my game's been for in a long time.
How much have you gained from your freshman year till now, poundage? Do you know?
I think like 15 or 20 or so.
What are you right now?
I'm like right at 150.
Okay, well, you were 130 when you got here.
Yeah,
so that's
20 pounds.
Yeah, 20 pounds, that's very good. But I know that Izzy's been really good for you. I know it's benefited you, but it's benefited everybody.
Absolutely.
On the team. But definitely somebody who's been injured, to have somebody that's an expert that knows about the human anatomy, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. You've got one more semester left in the green and gold, just one.
Crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, we're going to be qualifying, so it's going to be open. There's going to be at least one or two spots open as we start this spring. What are your expectations for you? And then after that, what do you expect out of this team?
I mean, me personally, I'm in a perfect world, you know, qualify for every tournament, win every tournament, but I think it's important for me to just make sure I stay consistent every single day that I'm practicing. And, I mean, the big picture in all this is to play on the PGA Tour. And so if I'm playing great golf and I miss qualifying by one or two shots, one, that means our team is really good. And two, that means that I'm still improving just like the team is. And as much as I want to contribute to the team and, you know, be a part of us winning golf tournaments like I think we will, the main thing is, I think that we, as a team, can make a run at a national championship, and I think our best golf is extremely hard to beat.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what we could accomplish this spring, and as I said, it's open to you, it's open to all 11 guys when we tee off in that first round of qualifying. One thing that a lot of coaches overlook, I think, is what guys are doing in the classroom. And I know you struggled for a while, and that's not a secret. I mean, you did struggle for a while, but you flipped a switch here in the last two or three semesters. You're actually a very good student now, and you're going to get a degree from Baylor University in May. So talk to me about, was that a mind shift change or a paradigm shift on your part, or how have you been able to get better in the classroom instead of worse?
I think it just kind of all starts, I mean, even whenever I first got here, you always, not even just tell me, but you tell the guys, like, if you knock out school, then you're not worried about school on the golf course, and it's, I mean, it takes stress off of everything. I mean, if you're hanging out and you know you have homework assignments due, you're not going to be able to, you know, spend the quality time with the guys or whatever. And so I think I just kind of, in a way, just decided that whenever I have homework, I'm just going to get it done as soon as possible. And I think over time, doing it over and over as fast as I can. And I mean, if you do a great job the first time, then you won't have to do it again. And so I'll just focus on it, make it more of a priority, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really helped.
Do you think, even though I definitely, you had to make it more of a priority, but do you think your freshman year with an online class and all of that was a bit cumbersome, wasn't it?
I think just the whole adjustment from, you know, I'm definitely a homebody, and mm-hmm. so whenever I was in high school, I kind of just went to the golf course, went home, that's all I knew. And so being here, being injured, and then also COVID, and then also not getting to try and meet new people and make new friends because of COVID, I think all of it was just not good. And that's what made school especially even more hard, because it didn't seem like it was really even worth it.
You struggled for a while, but I think the combination of all those things you just mentioned, but also you and Trey becoming good buddies.
Yeah, for sure.
You were more comfortable with your surroundings. And then you got to, I guess you branched out a little bit more on the team, which was great.
Yeah.
But I noticed and have noticed and have appreciated the fact you've done a whole lot better in the classroom. I think it's fantastic. And you're going to have a degree. So how many hours do you have this semester?
I think 13.
13?
Yeah, so. I took a winter class over mm-hmm. break just so I could have my last semester not be, you know, 16 hours
yeah,
or so.
Yeah,
just kind of
sure.
Take it slower.
Well, that's good. Well, we start qualifying on the 20th, I think, if the weather warms up. Because next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, are going to be freezing cold.
Yeah. I think back home, Oklahoma is supposed to be like single digits.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold. By the way, for the record, it's colder in Oklahoma than it is in Waco.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, just
it
making
is,
sure.
For sure.
You can tell everybody you know that that's the case. Well, so we will start team competitions. We take all the guys to a tournament in Palm Springs, February 18th.
Yeah, I think so.
That will be really good. And we get to go out and see our buddy Scout McNeely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be really good.
Hopefully he cooks for us. I'm sure he will.
He's a pretty good cook.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good, so we're looking forward to that. And then, obviously, we get right into the season. About every week or week and a half, we're competing someplace. But before we finish, I want to do something that I've just kind of reinstituted, and that's the speed round.
Okay.
It's one thing I kind of prepared you for some of these other questions. Not this. So some of these you've heard before, but some of them you will not know. You ready for the speed round?
Yeah.
Don't take a lot of time on the answering.
All right.
Whatever first comes to your mind. Here we go. Remember the Titans or Shawshank Redemption?
Remember the Titans.
You and Trey, both. Chipotle or Chick-fil-A?
Ooh, Chick-fil-A.
He said the same thing. Maybe you guys are.
Qdoba is better than Chipotle.
Okay.
It's Oklahoma thing, in case anybody
knows. Qdoba, okay. I remember Qdoba quite well.
Qdoba's better than...
All right. This is probably the most important question I'm going to ask you today.
Okay.
Zach Bryan or George Strait?
Mmm.
Yeah, I know.
I'm probably going Zach Bryan. Not being from Texas, I'm not as... Okay. George Strait's the king of country, obviously, but
okay.
I don't listen to him as much as Zach Bryan.
Oh, you got to listen to George more. That's just sad. Last book that you read cover to cover?
Yours.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
How about that? Better than I found it.
Yeah, I got a new car senior year. My grandma made me read your book before I got the keys.
I love your grandma. She's great. Okay. Favorite professional sports team?
Oh, probably the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thunder. Okay, that makes sense. You know, for all those years, they had no professional sports in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So University of Oklahoma football and Oklahoma State football, that was professional sports. Thunder changed everything.
Yeah.
They've been very successful. Favorite PGA Tour player and why?
Tiger Woods, because he's the greatest of all time, and he's the reason why I picked up a golf club.
Okay. You know, very few people from my generation will agree with you, but he really is the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas has some records Tiger was never going to get either, but Tiger played against a little bit tougher competition, and I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback from guys in my generation.
Yeah.
But Tiger, he had a better short game. He, as great a putter as Nicholas was, he was actually a better putter than Jack Nicklaus overall. He wasn't as good a driver because he drove it erratically.
Right. And
Jack drove it straight, but he hit his long irons every bit as good. He hit his mid irons every bit as good. He was a better wedge player. He was a better bunker player, and he played against better competition. So people might argue with me, but I agree with you. Tiger's the GOAT. I still like Jack better. If you couldn't have played college golf, what sport would you have played?
Basketball.
Okay. Can you still shoot the tray?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ask the guys on the team. Nobody can guard me.
Okay. Nobody can guard you? All right. Who's the best pickleball player on the team?
I don't know. I played for a little bit, and I was so bad that I don't go play with them anymore. So,
well, probably, what kind of attitude is
probably
that?
Johnny or Drew.
Okay. I've been hearing Drew lately, but yeah. Okay. I'll give you Johnny Kiefer. Best shot you've hit in a Baylor uniform?
Ooh.
Think of the 2 5-irons I saw at the Border Olympics, but you go ahead.
Yeah, those were pretty good. Yeah, I'll probably say that. Back-to-back days, lipping out for a hole-in-one on the same hole with 5-iron.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that. It's a 5-iron par 3.
Yeah.
And back-to-back days, you lipped out. One on the left lip, lipped out. Right lip, lipped out. 2 birdies in a row. Hard par 3. Yeah.
Straight back into the wind.
Straight into the wind. That was a great, great, great deal. Okay, I agree with that. Favorite course you've played in college?
Cabo del Sol.
Very nice. That was probably your sophomore year?
Or Whispering Pines.
Okay.
That place is
very nice.
Unreal.
Course you'd most like to play in the world?
Augusta National.
Tom Jones, who was a golfer at Oklahoma State, All-American, Mike Holder's first All-American. Mike Holder was going to take him to Augusta. He said, I don't need to go to Augusta. I want to wait until I qualify. Mike said, hold on, you may never get there. And he never got there, but he never got to play. But anyway, favorite non-golf Baylor sporting event that you've seen or witnessed?
Either whenever Baylor basketball won the national championship. I've got 3. Baylor basketball won the national championship. Baylor football beating OU the year we won the Big 12s because everybody got to storm the field. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. And then Baylor football winning the Big 12 championship, being some of the guys went down to that game. That was awesome.
Okay. I think a tie for 1 is good on all those. Favorite Coach McGraw quirk? Something very unusual about me that you're going to – because there's so many.
I mean, I always joke with you about age, but I guess that's not really a quirk. But
this being old?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, probably that.
Okay, and you're always going to be young.
Always.
You lucky devil. All right, last question. Your dream foursome, you and 3 others, who would they be?
Tiger Woods. Yeah. Dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
And my grandpa.
Wow. That's a good foursome right there. Well, Luke, thank you so much for joining me on Better Than I Found Today. I love every year in the wintertime getting to interview my seniors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the last go-round for us. I'm excited for you. It's wide open for you. Go get it. Let's have a great spring. What do you say?
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Let's go win some tournaments.
Let's do it.